up to where we are currently in our studies, and we finished up last week with A Life Without Love. How do we know when love is present? Now, James is a good study on that. Faith without works is dead. And we have looked at various aspects of what James is talking about. But what of a life without love? What does that look like? A lot of times preachers, most often, preachers will spend their time on what a life of a Christian in sin looks like. And that becomes a big momentum in sermons and in different things that are going on. Got a fabulous email. Let me put it this way. I got a fabulous email as far as the first half. Now, what the person did and the conclusions they drew, I wasn't impressed. But let me just share this with you. Leonardo da Vinci, in painting the Last Supper, the famous one that everybody sees, it was all the disciples and everything. They're all sitting at a straight table, so it's obviously historically inaccurate, but it's a very famous picture. Y'all have seen it, right? Okay. Y'all know the story? I didn't know the story. Okay, so it takes him 7 years. It took him 7 years to paint that. And what he did was, he searched a long time on finding somebody whose whole countenance he wanted to paint as Jesus. After reading it, made me want to go find a copy somewhere. I don't know where I'm going to find me one. But to paint the face of Jesus. Well, he found just this very almost angelic, completely beautiful integrity, virtue, love, everything you'd want, probably, that you think of in that kind of sense. And so Da Vinci painted, and then I think he said over 200 people applied or showed up to be looked at, and this man was selected. Then he did the same thing with each disciple. What kind of a face would this fisherman have? What kind of face would Matthew have? And each man. And so now we've jumped 7 years, and he's doing the last one. And the last one is Judas. Because Judas Iscariot is at the table. And I think incorrectly, but that's not the story. But he wanted a horrible face, which I think is just the opposite of what it should have been. But he wanted a horrible face. He wanted a villain. He wanted somebody that just looked, like a real horrible person. Maybe scars and just dead, a dead face. Kind of best way to look at it is what he wanted. Well, he looked and they looked and they looked and they couldn't find anybody. And finally, someone told him that they saw this man in Rome. But he had to get there quick because the man was getting ready to be executed. So Leonardo da Vinci himself goes to Rome, sees the face, and says, "That's it. That's the face I want." So he went through the proper authorities and got permission to have the man come to where he was. It wasn't Florence, so it was Milan. And so he came there, and he spent 6 months painting this man, looking at him, his eyes, his face, as he painted it, looked at him. He's still painting him. And Leonardo da Vinci said, "Okay, y'all can take him now, proof." And the guy came up at the end, not before, and grabbed hold of his legs and just said, "Leonardo da Vinci, don't you recognize me?" And he said, "I don't know you. The first time I saw you was in jail." And he said, "Oh my God, have I changed that much?" It was the same man he painted for Jesus. It was the same man that 7 years ago he had painted his very face for the face of Jesus, and now he painted it for the face of Jesus. I could draw a lot from that. I thought that was really, really cool. But so what happens is, and the person who emailed me said this is what sin does and everything. So you're going to get a lot of sermons on what a life of sin would be to you and what a life of sin is like. You don't hear a whole lot of sermons, though, on what a life without love is like. And yet, this describes these three verses, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's open our scriptures to there. 1 Corinthians 13 really describes most Christians. I'm sorry. It describes most Christians who do not know how to be filled with the Spirit by faith and have and live their Christian life by their list. And this is a big list that we have going on here. And it's a life without love. What does a life without love look like? And that's what we really have in the study. And so in chapter 12, the end of the verse there, earnestly desire the greater gift, and I show you still a more excellent way or a superior way. And we dealt with that as one of our studies in dealing with the more excellent way to live your life. Now, we looked at, and very quickly last week, a life without love. And verse 1, if I speak with the language of men and angels, but do not have love. Now, if we took what's going on, not just quickly like we did, but if we looked at it in context, most of these are spiritual gifts. In other words, these are spiritual gifts, that these are the greatest spiritual gifts. And from verse 31 of the previous chapter. And, for example, tongues are languages. It's not speaking in tongues. I'm so sorry that happened, that it's translated tongues and not languages. It should be translated languages, because that's what tongues mean. You know, white men speak with forked tongue, you know, and a tongue is a language. And that's what the word really is. It's a gift of language. If I speak with the language of men, all kinds of languages, and even of angels, supernatural, but do not have love, I have become an echoing sound. In other words, something that draws attention back to me. And then he says, and a clanging cymbal. In other words, a noisemaker. I become a screeching sound, as you recall from our translation. A screeching sound. So echoing noise, just a noise, drawing attention to me. A screeching sound. And I'm sorry to tell you, but that's what a lot of sermons are. It's what a lot of Christianity is throughout the world. Just an echoing sound, drawing back to how great I am, and a screeching sound as far as the warfare is concerned. But what happens is you say nothing. Then in verse 2, and do not have love. We saw why would a Christian not have love? Christian does not have love because he refuses to walk by faith in the Spirit. What love does, and we didn't deal with this too much last week, so I just kind of want to put this in. What love does, love is the alchemizer. By alchemizer, love is what is going to furnish any of these things with value. They have no value in and of themselves. So if we go back to the days of the alchemist in American in world history, the alchemist would take common, ordinary things, and what they were trying to do was put them through some kind of a process where they would have value. Turn into the philosopher's stone. The philosopher's stone is gold concept. So this is what they're looking for. So if we see what is happening here, this is what spiritual love does. Spiritual love is like a funnel. And this part is the spiritual love. And you put into here, for this point, I can speak in this, so you have a spiritual gift of languages, even of the languages of the angels, supernatural language. In and of itself, you say nothing. It's nothing. It's of no value. People are so impressed with speaking in tongues. People are not impressed with speaking in tongues or languages unless it's spiritual love and a lot of other things. But this is a great kicker. Spiritual love is what is going to give this gift its value. Okay, so it alchemizes it. And what I like to say is to me that most of the religions and denominations and movements today, They're just the old-fashioned alchemists. They're trying to come up with the proper amount of everything so that they can come out with that which is going to be pleasing to God. And it isn't going to work. It's no big secret. Here it is. Spiritual love by faith in the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 2, he continues this, and if I have the gift of prophecy, and we looked at Luke 9 and different things, and know all mysteries, these are gifts. Gift of prophecy, gift of knowledge, and all the mysteries, all knowledge. If I have all faith, and so as I could call down fire from heaven, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Nothing. A believer without spiritual love is nothing. People, I don't care who he is or she is. I don't care what kind of a denomination they're over. I don't care how many books they sell. I don't care how many television programs are on. What they do. If they don't know how to have spiritual love, they're nothing. That's a tough thing to take it. But you can just imagine when we all stand before the Bema Seat, the evaluation before God, it's going to be frightening. Because people who work hard, nothing. It's just so difficult, nothing, to say nothing. Terry's mom, Hazel, can't say anything now verbally. And that's what many Christians are going to be like. That's what they're like in the spirit. You don't say anything. You can talk forever, but you don't say anything. Because it is spiritual love. And please put this into your thinking. I'm talking about when you even speak, whatever you speak is true doctrine. Look what it says. I have become. But if I do not have love. So let me just make this very emphatic word that says to your soul. So that I speak absolute truth, but do not do it in love. I'm just saying things that echo how great I am and a noise in the spiritual warfare, even though what I'm saying is true. It's nothing. That's a hard one. That's a tough one. Because even though it may be true, it's just an echoing noise. Now, some of you may be critically thinking, well, what about that verse where my word will never return void and all that? Well, first of all, that isn't what that verse means. But let's just deal with that. People, as far as the truth of spiritual knowledge and spiritual things out of the text, that will serve its own purpose. We're talking about you. We're not talking about the fact that you may or may not be speaking truth. What you're doing is drawing attention. You're using, in this sense, you're using the truth to draw attention to you. If what you're saying, even if what you're saying is true, if it's not with the power of the Spirit, therefore spiritual love, you're just doing it to draw attention to yourself. You're just making noise. And then in verse 2, if I have the gift, so here you have a gift of prophecy, you can prophesy. And remember we looked at the verse and they say, we're prophesying in thy name, Jesus Christ, that I never knew you. And I know all mysteries and all knowledge, so I understand every one of these things. I have that gift, have all this faith, but do not have love. I am nothing. Look at that. I have all knowledge. People, that is just, you know, what would we give to have all knowledge? I mean, I sit and I study and I read the text and I do the Greek, the Hebrew, and then I read other stuff and da-da-da-da-da just to get maybe an understanding of John 13, 34, and 35. Paul, to be able to put the whole thing, and then, you know, maybe to the point of getting tired, but bringing in Job and bringing in and seeing the things that God shows that John 5 were doing is just fabulous on Sunday morning. But to be able to have it all and just put it all together, and just realize, you're nothing. You're just nothing. I am nothing in the spiritual warfare. That's not making a statement about the truth. Please be able to separate. We're making a statement about the container of that truth. In other words, us. Because it's going to be spiritual love that's going to direct all of that. I am nothing. Now verse 3. If I give all my possessions to feed, in other words, the concept of the poor, is understood, and the Greek actually points out to where I become poor. If I surrender my body to be burned, and that means for the benefit of someone else, but do not have lust, it profits me nothing. So it just, there's no profit to it. So here you're talking about the actual doing of things. Boy, when I get to heaven, I gave a lot of money, and I did this, and I did that, and I worked, and on and on and on, a la Mother Teresa, whatever her name is, and I did all of this great stuff. People, if you don't have love by the power of the Holy Spirit, profits you nothing. Don't stand at the beam of seat expecting to get great things, because if it hasn't been done in spiritual love, you've done nothing. It profits you nothing. Nothing now, nothing eternally. That's a wasted life. So we just describe, people, you know, we can sit here and talk about a life of sin, and every one of us knows, well, that dirty bum ain't going to get anything. And doesn't deserve anything if we're lost. And we just know it. Boy, just finish life in sin, and, you know, we're all in agreement. Then we're going to come over and we're going to talk about people that do great things for God and have done it all their life and have all these great gifts and spend their money, give their money, and do all of this stuff and tell you, wasted. That's a hard thing to swallow, that here is somebody who did all of this all of their life for God. Here's this bum, born-again believer, who spent his life out in the world, and when they stand at the bema seat, they're going to be the same. Neither one is going to have any profit, reward, anything that will be praiseworthy of God. And a lot of people reject that, what I just said. So, you know, it just, both of them, this defiled sinner, born-again believer, this hard worker, born-again believer, and the judgment seat of Christ, nothing. Nothing. And what's the difference? Love. Spiritual life, but here he's talking about love, and we'll see why as we go through this, and this becomes important. Okay, let's take some summary points tonight. One. In verses 1 through 3, the believer in the church age has various spiritual gifts. By the way, I think this could also be used, just a side parenthesis, I think this text can also be used sort of as a verification that a person can have more than one spiritual gift. Not a proof text, but it is a text that I would go to and look at. That he said, if I have all of these. He didn't say if I had this one or this one, but if I had all of these. But anyway, that's beside the point. But in verses 1 to 3, believing the church age is placed with the ultimate of spiritual gifts, the greatest spiritual gifts as we have here. A multitude of circumstances has their language, gift of prophecy, all knowledge, faith to remove insurmountable objects. His production is of the greatest depth. In other words, get a grasp of his production. Get a grasp of his production. What did Jesus Christ, what was the final point with the rich young ruler? You've got to do what? Anybody remember the final thing? The rich young ruler, Jesus Christ said, you've got to do this and this and this in the law, blah, 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 blah. And he said, I did it. And then Jesus Christ hit him. What was the last thing Jesus Christ said to him? You've got to do what? Anybody remember? Huh? Go sell all your possessions and do what? Give it to the poor. Take all your possessions. That's the impact here, people. You've got to pull this to kind of an example. The love of money, the root of all evil. I mean, this guy is doing the ultimate. This is unbelievable. This is the ultimate. He has given everything. So he's got all this great production. He gives all of his possessions to feed the poor, and he becomes poor. Yet with all these fantastic spiritual gifts and his circumstances and things that are going on, there's one condition. He is without love. This person is without love. This is one description that we're going to see keep coming up. I do not have love. Verse 1. I do not have love. Verse 2. Do not have love. Verse 3. Now, let's think about the impact of that. I want to extend what your thought process is. I do not have love. Okay. Where does the love come from? Holy Spirit. So, what are we saying then? If I do not have love, that means I do not what? Huh? I do not have the Holy Spirit. The work is power. I've got Him inside of me. If I do not have love, okay, do not, I want you to see this. Do not have spiritual love. Okay. So, spiritual love comes from the Holy Spirit. So if I am minus, a little geometry here, if I am minus the Holy Spirit, if I am minus spiritual love, which we know is case, therefore, what? I am minus the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, secondly, whose love is this? In other words, duplicated that we're to do, imitate. Jesus Christ. So, if I am minus spiritual love, therefore, I am minus Jesus Christ. Which means here, what? Which means here, people, I'm not going to be transformed into His image, am I? So here I am living this whole Christian life, and everybody thinks I'm great, says wonderful things, and all of this stuff, but I am minus Jesus Christ's love, therefore I'm not going to be transformed into the image of Christ, am I? And then finally, if I am minus spiritual love, who is love in the Bible? Who is declared as love? God. So, if I am minus spiritual love, therefore I am minus God. Look what your life is like. Look what a life without love is like. It is a life without the Spirit. It is a life without Jesus Christ. It is a life without God. Though you are a believer, though you are possessed with the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you have eternal life, you are in Christ, but here's your life. Now, if I drew you a thing of a believer out sinning, are not these the things that we would eventually talk about? A sinner that never went to church, never did anything and didn't care? Wouldn't we eventually talk about, well, he has no Spirit, Holy Spirit active in his life, he's got him indwell? We'll talk about how he doesn't have Christ as the center of his life, doesn't have a relationship with God. But look whom we're talking about here. We're talking about Christians who do great and mighty things for God, in quotes. And yet, people, what we're seeing, and I just want you to follow through with the impact of what a life without love is like. A life without love is a life without the Holy Spirit guiding, directing, empowering, leading. A life without love is a life without Jesus Christ, because it is His love that we are to do. If you're not loving as Christ loved, you're not being transformed into His image. And yet people, these people that we're talking about, they will talk a lot about the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God, and they're not. That's what they meant when the passage we read last week, but we prophesied in your name, I never knew you. They say, they talk about the Spirit and about Christ and God the Father, but they don't even know Him. They don't have the spiritual life. So here's your life, people. Now, we don't want to live the life of the sinner. And by sinner, I just mean somebody who stays constantly out of the spiritual life. But let's make it clear, we don't want to spend this life of this religious hard worker either. How can we say? Now, I'm not here to judge anybody. I want to make a point. How can we say to someone like Mother Sister Teresa, or somebody like, that's just really great in giving, or great in Christian work, or some preacher or evangelist, or on and on and on, their whole life is nothing? People just get disturbed by that. But let's look at this text. You can be doing great things. Have verse 1, 2, and 3 are great things. But without love, they're nothing. So the solution is, oh, well, then I'll just go live the life of the sinner. That's not the solution. I'm being funny. The solution is to walk in the Spirit and have this love. So that when you, whatever we do, is done in this love. But love is the alchemizer. Love is the secret. You know, I emphasize faith a lot, and I do that because that is the way to this. But that's not the goal. That's not what it's about. This is what it's about, spiritual love. Love is what it's about. Loving is, love is our point of contact with God. It's never been holiness. People, at the point of contact with God, where righteousness and justice, we're all damned to an eternal separation from God because none of us can come up to that. Jesus Christ's point of contact with God was his righteousness and justice, not us. Our point of contact is his love. And then as far as the Christian life is concerned, this is how we're going to live the Christian life, right here. Spiritual life. If you minus it, no spirit, no Jesus Christ, no transforming into the... I don't say, yeah, but I have great thoughts. I think about him all the time. People, how sloppy do we want to get with this? I mean, and I don't know who it would be today. I don't even know if there are people like this around today. But I know when in the younger, my younger days, that the number, and this is not, I'm not making this up, I knew three girls who just knew they were going to marry Elvis Presley. One, especially at the University of Houston. She just knew it. I mean, she was obsessed, thought, I mean, everything. She never even met him. So here people, yeah, but I do all of this stuff. I speak his name all the time. And every time I answer the phone, I say, Jesus is Lord. I do everything I possibly can. And I talk about the Spirit, and I pray to God the Father all the time. I didn't even know you. It'd be like that girl running up and, you know, meeting Elvis. Oh, you know, I don't know who are you. Oh, I've loved you for, you know, since 1954, and I've done this, and my whole room, my whole house is, you know, Elvis. And I don't even know you. What do you mean you love me? I don't know you. So this is what we're dealing with here: a whole life wasted without love. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because I think enough time has been spent on emphasizing the empty life of a sinner. We all know that. But what we're not very clued in on is the empty life of a working Christian. How you can spend your whole life and it just be wasted. You're nothing. You say nothing. You do nothing. You profit nothing. You are nothing. As far as the whole warfare is concerned. You're not being transformed into the image of Christ at all. You're just echoing sounds that come back to you. So point one is very, very important here. Very important as far as what, where we are in all of this. Not having this love. God is love. So if I do not love as Christ loved, then I don't have God the Father. No matter what I may claim or what I may think. Point two. Paul, in verses 1 through 3, presents a life of great spiritual gifts. It doesn't matter what your spiritual gift is. The point is that he uses these so that anything underneath it fits. So here is this of the greatest spiritual gift, whatever the spiritual gift is. We all have a spiritual gift. Every one of you have at least one spiritual gift. I believe some believers have more than one, but anyway, we all have at least one spiritual gift. And you can actually go through life and just build up a lot of things, do a lot of work in that area, and get lots of knowledge of Bible doctrine, get lots of wisdom, and all your knowledge, if you don't have spiritual love, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, people. Knowledge, as we saw, just puffs up and makes arrogant. And then we could take each one of these and do the same type of thing with. So you give all your money, you do all of this stuff, but if it's a life without love, it is an empty life, it is a useless life. It is a non-productive life. It is a life where you are not only not united with others, but you're not even in harmony with God throughout your life. Though you spent your whole life working for God. And people, I'm not here talking about, I think we could all agree here, when I was in seminary, there would be men who wrote this whole wall book about the Bible, God, different aspects of God, weren't even close to what was really going on, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Spent their whole life with all these books written, nothing, empty. Just empty, wasted lives, just making hard work for seminary students. It's, you know, that's what it comes down to, an empty life. But what I would like you to see is that, okay, you might think, I'm never going to do all of these things. I'm a housewife. I'm this. I'm that. I work here. I'm not important. Da-da-da-da-da-da. People, do you realize what happens if you just do? Let me kind of be funny, because we certainly want to walk in the Spirit all the time, not in sin. If you just spent 1 hour a day in spiritual life, think about that. Add that up. 1 hour a day you walk in the Spirit. And but God does. He doesn't even look at all of the others. And add that up for a lifetime compared to what we're reading here, life without love. These people work all the time and nothing. But the more that you will get into this of walking by faith in the Spirit and having everything you say, everything you think and do, alchemized, gone through this thing of spiritual love, processed through that, people, you are something, you say something, you do something, and it's profiting you now and eternity. You may not think you're important. That's why I think the Bema Seat is just going to be the most fantastic, fun thing. It's going to be so much fun to see people that nobody knows anything about. I always like to make it in the equation, and I don't even know if there is. Well, I'm sure there is, but, you know, this ignorant black pastor in the backwoods of Alabama who somehow saw Jesus Christ as Savior, saw the Holy Spirit as life, and that's what he taught his people. And did it for 50 years and walks away with more than a lot of the TV hot shots. Because he just loved. Just let the Spirit pour in that love. Never made a big deal about anything. And I thought there about preachers, but we just talk about believers to come along life's way. You must realize how important your life is. You and I may not think it's important. How could I think my life is important if we just look at it from viewpoint? I pass churches, thousands of people that sit there. You know, well, but what we have to realize is how important your life is, not by comparison of the others, but by the truth. It's what I'm doing in spiritual love. And that's what's going to move the world. But that's what's going to count. Right? Point three. For those believers who desire a life without love, here's what your life is. You say nothing. You talk to yourself. You draw attention to yourself. You are nothing. And you may be saying truth. You may be saying the right thing, but it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. This is hard to understand. It just doesn't matter. Somebody could get up, people, and speak doctrinal truth and can be more accurate and more profound. That's a better word. More profound in their knowledge, more profound in their homiletic delivery, but they don't have life. You have less knowledge processed by love, alchemized by love. God is a bit different. So this is your life without love. A life without love, you are nothing. All that you do, all your knowledge, all your faith, all this, nothing. You produce nothing. Nothing on earth, nothing in heaven. People, I'm going to say it very simply. A life without love is a worthless life. It's a useless life. You might as well have done nothing. You might as well have done nothing if you're not going to do it in His love. It is a useless life. This is what this passage speaks. And if any of you have any problem with this, raise your hand. Let's talk. This is so important and so powerful. All right, four. This passage makes it extremely clear by stating negatively that spiritual love is what gives impact to your life. This passage makes it extremely clear by stating negatively that spiritual love is what gives your life impact. People say, how many books do we need to have written? And they're all looking for the secret. I mean, you get books, and boy, I found the secret to divine guidance. I found the secret to marriage. I love where we go with this marriage thing. It took us, 5,000 years, but 2,000 years of church history. We finally got it figured out. It all has to do with what kind of personality you have, whether you're a sanguine or whatever, this or that. It all has to do with the difference between man and woman, and we got to understand that. That's where the secret is. And boy, these books on the secret really sell. This is it. We're all men are different than women, and I want to spend a lot of money because there's the secret. The secret is in our personality. That's it. Man, I knew that was it. Something else had to be. That's the secret. We're like Delilah and the Philistines, people. We're looking for a secret and we'll buy anything. We'll lock into anything. People, you have the secret. Love as Jesus Christ loved you. That's the secret. It's not a big secret. But because people reject, I got that down. But boy, did you read this about how if you have this kind of personality and you marry somebody with this kind of personality, you're just going to have to put up with them being this way and this way. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people. We haven't learned how to put up with one. Put up? That's the secret? I'm supposed to put up with this bum because they're inconsiderate? You want to tell me it's a personality? No. That's not the secret. The secret is because I am woman, and I always knew that just because of my physical everything makeup, I'm different, and that's not the secret. I am man, I'm the ruler. That's not the secret. And somebody come up with something else. That's not the secret. People, you've got the secret. It's loving as Christ loves. It's neither male nor female. In Christ is neither male nor female. I can't get this through to people. I mean, Christians that should even know better still buy into it. And they understand. In Christ is neither male nor female. Let me tell you the solution for every woman on planet Earth: to love her as Christ loved you. Let me tell you the secret for every male on planet Earth: to love as Jesus Christ loved you. That's the secret. Because love will never fail. You don't have to figure it all out. Teenagers, young person, older person, anybody, what do they need? We all need love. People, did not love save us eternally? Yes. Did not love meet our needs at the cross? Yes. Does not love meet our needs in life? Yes. What is it that man needs? Spiritual love. The love of the Holy Spirit. That's the secret. It's not in anything else. But oh, how we want to find it. How we buy into all of this stuff. We're Delilah and the Philistines waiting at the door. We pounce upon, we being the church, we pounce upon the new one. Oh, here's the new secret. And we're going to try it because we just laugh at the real one, the truth. And the truth is right here that we're studying, spiritual life. Well, I'm just getting going here, but your time is up, so we'll stop here and pick it up next Tuesday evening. Let's spend some time in prayer. Father God, life is so short, hunting so short. So difficult to teach that to young people, but life is so brief. We don't want a wasted life. And we don't want to end up gauging it and counting it by money, status, accomplishments, but by loving as Christ loved. And that's so difficult living in the world, in the United States, a material world, that you look and one's value and one's accomplishments are so many ways of measuring. I pray that the Spirit will just calm our souls down to really see what a waste life is and what a useful life. To love as you loved us. Father, we thank you for tonight's sermon. We pray that you just continue to deal with us in grace and come back right here. Continue looking at this and grasp just to the point of its suffering to pursue this life. To make it the pursuit of our life. The area of our fanaticism. To love as Christ loved us. And therefore giving to our life meaning, purpose, usefulness, utility, profit. And we have something to give to others. I will praise you in your son's precious name. Amen. Yeah.